Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to Benzinga's Cannabis Insider Podcast, your go-to source for everything in the cannabis world. Today, as you can see, I'm going solo as Elliot, Javi, and Avi are out there working hard to bring you more groundbreaking stories and insights. But in this episode, we are thrilled to have John Hartman, CEO of Ascend Wellness, joining us. We'll be exploring the secrets behind Ascend's impressive growth and navigating the cannabis industry complex regulatory landscape with him, the innovative strategies pushing Ascend to the forefront. So let's get started. Hello, John. Very happy to have you here. How are you?
Potter, good to see you again. Thank you for having me, as always.
Very happy to have you here. And okay, let's kick things off because we have, again, a very recent earnings report with some really eye-popping numbers. So Ascend Wellness reported a 25% year-over-year revenue increase in Q4 2023. My first question is, what strategies were the most effective in driving this growth, especially in retail and wholesale segments?
First, Pato, let me just take a second and recognize the team that did all the work. So we've got a terrific team of 2,300 associates that are driving Ascend every day, both in our retail stores and our cultivation and production facilities, and the smaller number of us who are in corporate supporting roles. And really, all the credit for the success goes to the hard work of those 2,300 people that are really driving the business. So look, I think, as you pointed out, really broad-based growth for us over the last year. When you think about where we were at the end of 2022 and where we finished at the end of 2023, really substantially improvement in each of the segments of the business. First and foremost, at the revenue line, to see, as you pointed out, see that double digit, that great 28% growth from $406 million where we finished 22 to $519 million for the full year of 23. And then the profitability in the measurement that we use, the EBITDA profitability of the business, also up double digits, 14%, finishing the year strong at over $100 million. So, you know, I think that we've seen very good growth across our seven retail markets, as well as our wholesale markets. So it's been a blend across both parts of the business for us.
Yeah, that's right. And yeah, I loved having this conversation with you because you have a broad experience in retail. So the company has seen a significant growth in the third-party wholesale business, particularly in New Jersey and Massachusetts and Illinois. What makes these markets attractive and pivotal to Ascend's growth strategy?
Yeah, I think the wholesale business is certainly a very strong complementary business to our retail business, and our wholesale team has done an exceptional job over the past year in really focusing on developing the relationships at the early stages to be able to get into larger numbers of doors. So if you take emerging wholesale markets for us like Illinois and New Jersey, where where our wholesale team is nurturing third-party relationships with over 90% of the existing dispensaries. So, of course, we have terrific MSO partners, but more importantly, or of equal importance, I should say, we have a growing number of social equity or single store owner partners whose shelf space we're also enjoying. So it's a really great blend in those states. And I think the magic sauce is having great product to sell in each of our three primary wholesale markets: Illinois, New Jersey, and Massachusetts. We have fantastic products across the Ozone brand, across the Simply Herb brand. We have great, a variety of form factors that our wholesale customers are interested in terms of complementing, their menus with these products. And I think foundationally, it's the relationship building that our team's doing early on, particularly with new entrants to the market, with social equity owners and operators who are joining, coming to the market, and we're able to develop and nurture those relationships.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for those insights. And also, well, a big shout out to those teams. I like that you stress their effort, as that often goes unrecognized. And yeah, it's always good to to make the collective effort seen. So again, saying on retail, consumer expectations in cannabis retail are evolving rapidly. That's what we are seeing pretty much everywhere. So how does Ascend plan to innovate its retail experiences to meet these changing demands?
You know, we've just a little bit maybe about our network, which informs, you know, some of the things that we learned about consumer behaviors, because interestingly, we've, you know, just less than 1 year ago, we added our seventh market in Maryland. The company acquired four dispensaries in Maryland, and we rebranded those stores and were prepared to go live for the adult use flip on July 1st. And I think the seven markets that we're in have, you know, are at different levels of maturity. So we've learned, our team has learned from some of the evolving expectations of customers. You know, in brand new adult use markets, there's a set of expectations. And I think as those markets mature, customer, customer behaviors change a little bit. And I think that, that informs us as we work through these seven different markets. I'll come back and talk a little bit about some of our new retail stores in a minute. But to answer your question explicitly around customer expectations, look, one of the things that we see across all seven of our markets is that customers are relying on high quality product at a really valuable, at a very reasonable and value type position. So we've had terrific uptake on a couple of our brands, particularly Ozone and Simply Herb. I'll use a Simply Herb. I don't know if that's on your side or my side, but I was just hearing a little bit of feedback.
I don't know. Sorry.
No worries. I think we'll use a Simply Herb brand, for example, in its success in the Massachusetts market. We rolled out Simply Herb just about a year ago. So we've gone over the last, call it 2 years from zero market share with that brand to the number one position in the state of Massachusetts. So it's not a brag, it's just a fact. It's like, the fact is that customers want really great product at a really fair price. And we're seeing this, this brand acceptance, not only in our own three stores in Massachusetts, but across our portfolio of wholesale business in the state. So I think those are some key learnings that we've had, and we'll continue to focus on introducing new products, exploring the opportunity to introduce new brands, both our own brands, our house brands, but also the partner brands that we bring to market, to ensure that we, satisfy what the customer is looking for in each of the markets.
Perfect. Awesome. Thank you for that. And next question, more on the growth side, with the recent acquisition in Massachusetts aimed at expanding Ascend's market presence, what criteria do you use to evaluate potential acquisition targets or expansion opportunities?
Look, at this stage, Pato, in our maturation process as an organization, cash is really important to us. You know, the fact that this was, we announced our first full year last year of free cash flow continue quarter over quarter to generate cash from operations. And we expect our board expects that is the plan forward. We should be continuing to do that quarter over quarter, year over year. And I think in the context of that, we view both cash as critical. We're able to stand on our own two feet. Also, as we think about capital allocation, one form of that would be our own cash, is the judicious use of capital to make really smart, accretive acquisitions. And Maryland on the retail side is a really excellent example for that. As I mentioned a moment ago, we acquired those stores, we quickly turned them around, prepared them for adult use, and are seeing the really nice 2.25-ish times sales growth when we flipped to adult use in Maryland. And I think that makes deals like that, low cost, relatively speaking, high return, highly accretive in a rapid form. And then similarly with the acquisition of the Amesbury facility in Massachusetts, again, able to acquire an asset that was no longer needed by its prior owner, needless to say, we couldn't build it today new for what we paid for it. So a lower cost of capital to acquire a good asset, and then rapidly being able to turn that asset on and to get the benefit of it. So, you know, we've been asked, why are you investing in capacity in the state of Massachusetts? Well, I just shared with you the strength that our brands are having in the both retail and wholesale market in the state. Also, our existing cultivation and production facilities at capacity. We're using everything that we're currently, you know, able to cultivate and grow there. And additionally, one of the things that's been lacking from our market presence in Massachusetts has been a professional kitchen, and therefore form factors that rely on a kitchen for production. And in the case of Massachusetts, we now have acquired a kitchen as part of this acquisition. We, in less than whatever it is, 60, 90 days, the team has built out this terrific new kitchen. And we're producing, yet today, within 90 days of the transaction, we are producing gummies that is a form factor we don't currently sell in the market. So very excited to see, you know, from a dollars perspective, from a capital allocation perspective, relatively small investment, but rapidly accretive by, in this case, putting, you know, our own branded gummies into the marketplace, into our own stores, and as well as into our partner stores, those that are interested in it. So really exciting, not to mention the additional 15,000 square feet of canopy that we're building out. We've got our first few rooms planted, and we expect to be able to supplement our flower and related products along with the gummies coming out of the kitchen. So exciting acquisition for us.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. And it's great to hear this good news in an industry that sometimes looks like everything's all doom and gloom. And it speaks well of companies that can actually leverage the current regulatory landscape with all its hurdles to try to still thrive and staying on that matter on regulatory aspects. The cannabis industry is known for its hurdles in terms of regulation. So how does Ascend navigate these challenges? And most importantly, what policy changes would you advocate to facilitate industry growth in the future?
I think that the strategy of our founders, one that I've not deviated from in my year so far here with the company, is this focus on late stage medical markets, early stage adult use markets. And it's in fact, I've mentioned this before to your colleague Elliot. It's like one of the key things that attracted me to the Ascend business was this very discreet footprint that is, you know, has followed this very mindful approach to acquiring and adding assets to the portfolio. And I think that notwithstanding all of the regulatory changes we expect and all the regulatory changes we're hopeful for, and I can articulate a few of those in just a minute. Notwithstanding those, we have an amazing growth playbook that doesn't rely on intervention, particularly at the federal level. So in the seven states that we're currently operating, five of the seven adult use already, Ohio now on the cusp of adult use. We've just opened in January, just opened our fifth dispensary in Ohio. We are staffed up, geared up, you know, brand new stores just brought online in December and in January to round us out to the current five. And we're, you know, we're ready to go. And we expect that not later than, of course, along with everyone else, that by September will be, you know, adult use in Ohio, if not sooner. And we expect that it will be. Similarly, in the state of Pennsylvania, we are, you know, thrilled to hear, you know, the governor of the state talking about being left behind from a tax revenue perspective. So they're almost boxed in now with legal cannabis around them, Ohio coming next to the west, and you know, New Jersey to the east. And so it's like the governor of Pennsylvania has stood up and said, you know, it's our turn, let's go. So we've just actually opening our third dispensary tomorrow in the state of Pennsylvania, in a suburb of Pittsburgh. So we're excited to add to our two already very productive dispensaries on the east side of the state in Scranton and Wayne, Pennsylvania. And we're adding Monaca tomorrow. And we've got three additional Pennsylvania dispensaries under various stages of construction for later this year. So we're steadily marching toward adult use in Pennsylvania. It will be our remaining medical-only market once Ohio flips. And as you can see, we're making the investments kind of in the run-up to the time that we expect full recreational use in the state. Now, coming back to your question directly, we are hopeful and we are optimistic about some changes at the federal level that are long overdue. There's been an immense amount of discussion about the reclassification of cannabis from Schedule 1 to Schedule 3. The President of the United States referred to this in his State of the Union address. So it's like we've never seen, and we're very pleased to see this level of open dialogue about potential changes that as I said, are long overdue. And those of you that have been in the industry longer than I have, have been suffering under these puts and starts and stops along the way over the last number of years. I think, next in line would be some banking reform, which would allow additional steps to be taken to free up, free up transaction capability, capital investment in the industry, make uplisting to other public markets even easier. So these are some of the things that we expect will happen. But I think the point I'm trying to make is that while we're anxious and hopeful and have expectations as others do that we'll get these federal regulatory relief actions over the short term, midterm, and longer term, we're not waiting. We're not holding back. The Ascend playbook doesn't depend on federal regulatory reform to keep driving double-digit growth like you're seeing in the last year. And as we commented on our call this morning, we are guiding to another, for 2024 to be another double-digit top line and double-digit bottom line in strong free cash flow generation year. So we're excited about that.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you for that. And that's a note that we usually hear that it's no point trying to manage a cannabis company on the hope that regulations will sometime help coming months. But yes, it's great to hear that even we have all these hurdles, you can still thrive in this industry. And actually, well, also congratulations on that new dispensary in Pennsylvania. And going back to the earnings announcement, because despite the impressive revenue growth, I saw that Ascend also faced a net loss both quarterly and annually. So I would like you to explain if there are factors contributing to those losses and if there are any plans to achieve in profitability soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think the headline is we've really seen a nice year over year decrease in the loss. And when you're managing a business that's making deep investments, substantial tens, hundreds of millions of dollars in building infrastructure, as this company has, the losses are not unexpected. But what we're really looking for is that year over year decrease in loss to the point that we achieve profitability. And I think, total profitability. And I think that is the mission we're on. To achieve that, we are focused on leveraging the infrastructure that we've already invested in. And so in our core markets, you're seeing us really add as many dispensaries as we're permitted to from a regulatory perspective. We are focused on adding additional supply agreements that give us shelf space that allow us to leverage our cultivation and production assets that we've already invested in. And now we're on a third path to build additional partnerships, particularly in New Jersey and Illinois, in the foreseeable future, additional states where we'll take a minority shareholder position or without an equity position, just through agreements, be able to assist social equity partners to get their stores up and running, but also be able to be able to consolidate a substantial portion of the financials from those stores. So really a three-prong approach as these some of these markets mature, maximize our existing retail footprint with our own stores, grow them out, ensure that we're putting great products through them. Secondly, really penetrate and drive the growth of our wholesale business. You've seen that explicitly in three of our markets so far. And then, as I just mentioned, that third prong is developing, nurturing, and accelerating the number of partnerships we have in many of these states to extend our retail footprint and our market share. Those things all drive higher leverage of the investments that have been made and chip away at that loss that is a result of the speed at which the company grew in the size mm-hmm. of the investments we've had to make over the last few years.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what I wanted to ask you for, because that not only sounds like a good plan, but also talks about the experience you have on this industry already. So as a CEO, how do you balance the rapid growth and expansion and scaling of operations with maintaining product quality and consumer satisfaction?
Yeah, I think the goal is to accomplish all of those things in unison. And so one of the areas that we've spent a lot of time on in the last year is ensuring that organizationally we're structured correctly and we have the right people and the right skills in each of these critical areas. And I think through an open dialogue with our team, following on from the approved plan that our board put in place for the 2024 year, we've flowed through very clear and very concise goals for each of the segments that our team members are responsible for. So retail and wholesale really complement one another. They both rely on great cultivation and production results coming out of our six grows. That all also relies on, you know, great marketing support and great new products, a new product pipeline that is introducing a continuous, an appropriate but continuous flow of new products, because our cannabis customers are curious customers. They have their favorites, but they also want to try new things. And that's why you see a broad array of products on the shelves of our stores. We are very proud of the fact that 50%, you know, through March of this year, 50% of the products that we're selling at retail are our own brands. They're products that we manufactured ourselves. That's the great news. The better news is 50% of the products are our partner brands. So like us wholesaling to a wide variety of third-party customers, we're also a purchaser. We're a purchaser of, right. of 50% of the products that we sell. So that gives a customer a really great array of products. So coming back to your question, It is the role to ensure that we're hitting on all cylinders, that we have a great retail presence, which is based on great products and a great diverse portfolio of products on the menu for our customers to, to choose from, which requires us to cultivate and produce high quality products that are at an affordable value price in many cases that are attractive to our customers and meet their needs and their budget. While we also offer, as you can see behind me, the Royale brand, which is our super premium cannabis flower brand, that is very attractive to certain customers. While we offer, of course, lower and mid tier price points for customers who prefer to shop in that space. So I think it's a bit of everything. It's how it all comes together. It's how we manage it together as a team on a daily, weekly, monthly, and quarterly basis. And I think that's our focus. What you'll continue to see from us quarter over quarter is saying what we intend to, you know, deliver, and then delivering what we said we were going to deliver. And I think that's the cadence that we want to be in as a business.
That's fascinating. It's always impressive to hear how you make the operational puzzle pieces fit together. So also maybe on that regard, and maybe to wrap up our conversation, with a sense emphasis on innovation, what upcoming technologies or innovations in the cannabis industry are you most excited about? And finally, what are the biggest challenges and opportunities you foresee for Ascend in the next few years?
Sure. I think, you know, from a technology perspective, we are as a company kind of in our infancy from a technology perspective. We are looking at several new technologies in the cultivation and production space. We are also looking at some new technologies just from a business infrastructure position. By the way, we think, of course, an ancillary benefit to some type of federal regulatory relief will be an opening up of vendor opportunities for us. I come from traditional wholesale manufacturing and retail. There's a whole portfolio of vendors that are anxious to do business with mainstream customers and companies. And, you know, we are somewhat limited in the cannabis space, and that we think that's an opportunity. But a specific example we think is in cultivation and production automation. We're currently focused on some automation and some packaging opportunities that will make the job easier for our cultivation and production associates. So those are some things that we're excited about. And then, you know, long-term, it's really, even mid to long-term for us, it's like, it's really running our playbook, focusing on these core fundamentals, focusing on wholesale and retail growth at the double-digit level, ensuring that we remain and continue to become, you know, regularly cash flow positive quarter over quarter, year over year. And that's where we're at. And then really focusing on ensuring that we're meeting the customer's needs with great, safe product that's at a very affordable price point.
That's a great note to leave us off on. Thank you so much, John, for your time. It's been fantastic hearing your insights. And until next time.
Thank you very much for having me. Good to see you as always, and we'll see you again.
And that wraps up another insightful episode of Benzinga's Cannabis Insider. A huge thanks to John Hartman for sharing his valuable insights and experiences with us today. And don't forget to follow us on social media channels for the latest cannabis updates, and check out Benzinga.com for more in-depth analysis and upcoming events in the cannabis world. And of course, to all our listeners, thank you for tuning in. Stay curious, stay informed, and we will catch up on the next episode. Bye for now. Peace.